to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you let me yada, that you let me praise you. Come on and give God some praise in here.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Greater King David Baptist Church and Dr. John E. Montgomery II presents National Pastor Appreciation Day this Sunday at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. If Pastor Montgomery has been a blessing to you, here's an opportunity for you to be a blessing to him. With gifts, cards, love offerings, sent to Dr. John Montgomery at 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, 70806, and Cash App at $ Dr. JEM2. That's $ Dr. JEM2.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
God bless you. If you get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the Word of the Lord, turn them, if you don't mind, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Recorded are these words. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. If the Lord saved me, there's hope for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if the Lord saved me, there's hope for you. Now, if you really believe it, come on, give the Lord some praise, because Paul is not by himself. And I am not by myself, and you are not by yourself.
All right, then.
This is a wonderful word that we have before us today, and it is a word worthy of us paying close attention to. Because when we hear Paul writing this letter to young Timothy and giving him an insight to his own conviction and his own conversion, it's important to understand that what Paul has said, he has said as an example for us and an understanding of how deep and how far out and far reaching the power of God's salvation really is. When you look at Paul and you hear him sharing what he's sharing, let's walk back, if you don't mind, to verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And he starts off by saying, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord," by virtue of the fact that he says our, he's not just saying that he is his Lord, but there are some witnesses who have been saved that can bear witness to this truth, "who hath enabled me, for that he counted me worthy," faithful, "putting me into the ministry." Now, I love the fact that Paul makes clear, listen, I'm not in the ministry of my own recognizance. I'm not here because somebody told me I'd make a good preacher. I'm in the ministry because the Lord Jesus Christ found me worthy to be placed in his ministry. Verse 13 says, "who was before," talking about himself, "a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Now he's making clear as he makes his confession, listen, I've done a whole lot of things that were not right, that were not lawful, that were not good as related to the kingdom of God, and more especially against the ministry of Christ. And this is why he's thanking Christ for counting him worthy, because one of the things that he recognizes was that it was through his grace and his mercy that he looked beyond those things that he had done, and he bears witness that those things were done ignorantly. In other words, he was sincere, but he was doing them without the full knowledge of what he was truly doing. And so as a result of that, he makes clear that Christ knew his heart, knew him best, and extended mercy and grace, even though he was fighting against Christ and the church of Christ and the people of Christ. And so he talks about this in a way that helps us to understand that Christ knew that he, along with many others who are fighting against the program of Christ, have done it ignorantly so. And so when you don't really know what you're doing, that's why when Jesus was on the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, they knew what they were doing in the natural, but they did not know what they were doing in the spiritual. And so as a result, they did not know the full extent of the work that the enemy was using them to do. And so he's again confessing, listen, I did all of these things. I was a blasphemer. He makes clear, and he goes on to tell them all of the things that he did. He said, but it was done ignorantly. Now move forward, because I want you to see something else. Verse 14 says, "and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Now here's our verse 15. He says, this is a faithful saying. First of all, he's talking about this word being a word that is good news. It is the gospel. So he's talking about the gospel because he's talking about the salvation that caused him to be saved. And if it caused him to be saved, then it gave every other man hope. I don't care who you are, my brother, my sister, especially in this day and time, we have done many things against the cause of Christ. We have kicked against the prick. We have said things we ought not have said. We blasphemed the Holy Ghost. We've done many things in ignorance. But here, when Paul speaks this word, and at the end of this verse, he makes clear that you understand something that he knew to be true, and something that many of us cannot argue with, because when you look at Paul's past, especially before his Damascus Road experience, Paul was a terrible fella. And he wasn't terrible because he was drinking, chasing women, cussing and fussing and doing that. He was terrible because he was fighting against Christ and the movement of Christ and the people of Christ. And so that weighed more heavily against the true cause of Christ, because it was a direct blow
against the kingdom. A lot of our sins and a lot of the mess we do is an indirect blow. You know, we sin and do this and we say that and act this way and all that. That's an indirect blow. But Paul's job, his mission, his ministry was to create a direct blow that would end the ministry of Jesus even after his death. And so he recognizes when he says, if you want to talk about the chief sinner, you're talking about me. Yeah. Now, we can say a lot of things, but we can't really say what Paul has said because we've not done that. There may be some who follow suit, but none greater than what Paul had done as relates to tearing down the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look again, because the first thing I want you to see is the authenticity of the gospel. The authenticity of the gospel. He starts off by saying, this is a faithful saying. And authenticity means undisputed credibility. Yeah. Undisputed credibility. He says, this is a faithful saying. The gospel message is the most reliable message, trustworthy, true, and credible message ever given to man. When we begin to realize that it's not a myth, it's not a fable, it's not some delusion, it has the greatest testimony of any message ever given to mankind. It is not built on the quicksand of twisted interpretation. It is God's message unadulterated. It is God's love written divinely so to inspire man to know that God loves us in spite of us. And so when you begin to really hear this message and hear this truth, because that reaches a point when you fall so low that you become self-condemning. You find yourself in a place where you know you're not worthy, and it has been made clear that you're not worthy. So you set yourself out on a self-destruct course because you figure there's no way God could love me. There's no way God would want me in the kingdom. There's no way I could benefit the kingdom. Do you know what I've done? Do you know how far I've fallen? Do you know the mess I've been in? Do you know how messed up I am? How could God love me? So this is a faithful saying. And listen at this. What Paul was trying to say is, again, what he's done for me. I'm not the only witness that he saved me. And what I love about the gospel is that it doesn't meet you on my terms. It meets you right where you are and does for you what only it can do. Reminding you that God loves you and God's already, listen at this, paid the penalty of your sins and your infractions and everything that you've done wrong. What can you say against this when he tells you, I know everything you've done. I know every place you've been. I know every person you've been with. I know everything you've said, everything you've texted. I know everything you have. Y'all getting quiet on me here. I know everything there is to know about you, and yet I still love you. I know you can fool some people some of the time, but you know you can't fool me. I know you, boo. I know you. And in spite of knowing, see, listen to this. You know what? I mean, our idea of love is so twisted these days. It's so messed up that you can't really believe when folks say they love you. You love me? How do you love me? On what level do you love me? And this is this love predicated upon my actions or interaction? Do you really love me if I don't do what you want me to do? Say what you want. Give what you want. Y'all getting quiet in here. Is it the real kind of love that knowing me at my worst, you still love me? And see, this is the kind of love that God loves with that Paul experienced. He says this kind of love is in Christ Jesus. He was kicking against the prick, and Jesus called him Saul in the place where he was. And I got news for you. Sometimes you miss the fact that whenever God sees you where you are, it is not stopped there. He sees you there matriculating to where you're going to be. That's the only reason why he calls your attention to you. And listen, whenever he doubles up the name, the old folk used to say, he mean business. Saul, Saul. It's like your mom and them calling you your whole name. They ain't playing when they call you Buki and, you know, and whatever else. But when they call you your whole given name, you know they mean business. And so he calls him that, and he changes his name from Saul to Paul, because that was going to be a conversion and a transition. And that means sometimes when you come into that revelational knowledge that he loves you, he comes into you to change you and transform you. Sometimes you've got to be known by a different name. Because names represent the reality of who we are or who we used to be. How many of you used to have some names back in school? You ain't got that name no more. Y'all getting quiet on me now. Oh, there were some folk who knew you when you were out in the street.
Yes, sir.
You've been changed. They don't call you that name no more. Player, you know. You know, not no more, man. I've been saved.
Yes, sir.
You don't even like that name no more. You know, hey, my dog. No, I ain't your dog, bro.
All right.
I'm a grown man. I belong to the log. I ain't no animal. Don't call me no dog. Big dog or otherwise. One priest says, all right, call your dog as long as they call you big dog. No. Because if you call me a dog and I start acting like a dog, then you're going to change how you feel about me. You know? And so you need to make clear there are some things you don't want to be referred to any longer as. Saul reminded the Lord of the things that he did against the kingdom. Paul reminds him of the things that he's going to do for the kingdom. And so sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you got to understand that you've got to change your name and change your ways and change your friendships and change your relationships and change those things that hinder you and hamper you and keep you from becoming what God and who God wants you to become. And so when you begin to look at this and look at this saying, faithful saying, it is because of the authenticity of the gospel. But then I want you to see something else. There is the appeal of the gospel. The appeal of the gospel. Here's what it says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Worthy of all acceptation. It is the appeal of the gospel. Of all acceptation means that there isn't a man alive who can say if he or she truly accepts the Lord Jesus Christ that he would turn his back on them. This gospel message is worthy of being accepted by whosoever will. This gospel message is made for all of us because the word says all of us have sinned. Not some of us. But all of us have sinned, and what happened? We've come short of the glory of God. And so as a result of all of us becoming short, falling short of God's glory, it is because all of us have sinned that this message is worthy of all acceptation. And so if a man hears this word and chooses not to accept this word, he is without a doubt sentencing his own self to an eternal hell. An eternal hell that he could have escaped regardless of his sins, the depth, the profundity of his sins, if he had only accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some things that he must recognize he cannot change in and of himself. Don't mean he didn't try to change, but outside of the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the acceptation of Jesus Christ, the accepting of him as your Savior, there are just some things you'll never change in and of yourself. And so it's worthy, whether you're black or white, or Jew or Gentile, whether you're rich or poor, ignorant or learned, it doesn't matter what your position or your condition is, this word is worthy of all acceptation by everyone everywhere is this word worthy. But notice here it moves on not only for the authenticity of the gospel and not only the appeal of the gospel, but let's look at the advocate in the gospel. Because the advocate is important, because the Bible says that Jesus, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. An advocate is one who pleads another's case before a judge. Scripture says that Jesus Christ is our advocate, 1 John 2:1. And our verse speaks of the advocate, Jesus Christ, also having an incarnation. Listen to this. Came into the world and his preexistence came, suggests that he was here before, which says that when he came as God, he was then made into man, that he before time was already in existence. His incarnation brought him into the natural realm as a man. So he was God and man in man. Now listen to this, which meant he knew all of the things that God would know, had all of the powers that God had before he came here to planet Earth. But when he came to planet Earth, he took on the form of human flesh. Now he's got God righteousness in him, and yet he has man's identity in him. So now he becomes the only one in human history to be able to judge based on the experience of man, not being too harsh, and, you know, because he was God and God is holy and true and pure, but yet being man, he was the only one blessed not to have sin. So because he didn't have death-carrying polluted blood in his veins, he then was worthy of living a life in this earth realm as a sinless person, which meant he set the highest standard that man has ever had set for him, and yet made it obtainable because of his blood and his spirit. Now, one of the things that you must recognize and understand, that even as our advocate now, he's back on the right hand of the Father. So now he's God again in the fullness of that. But now he still has the record and the experience of being man. As an advocate in an official court scene, when the devil brings up your name and your claim, Jesus steps in as our advocate, because it's in heaven's courtroom. We're still on earth. And when he says, Your Honor, John Montgomery could not be here today, but I'm here to represent him in the claim that Satan has made against him. And so the judge honors the fact that Jesus is standing on my behalf. He says, I'll hear the case. And so Satan stands up and he reads off the litany of things that I've done that has fallen short. And when he gets through, Jesus says, Your Honor, I've gone over the record and I bear witness to the fact that most of that is true. And there are days when he says, Your Honor, all of those things are true. And every now and then there are days where he says the devil is lying. I wish I had a help in the house. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. Don't fool yourself now. But then when he gets through, he says, Your Honor, what the devil forgot to tell you was that he repented sincerely of those sins and asked forgiveness of him. And according to the record, because I did pay for all of his sins, and I have again applied my blood to the sin, so that record is moot. Now, some of y'all don't understand what that means. It means that's just play. You can throw that out. That ain't for real. That's a mock. And so what it literally says is, as our advocate, he's not just a lawyer, but he was the lawyer who saved us. So he has a record firsthand of the fact that he can represent me better than I could represent myself because of what he did for me and what he's in the opportunity of doing for me at this present state as an advocate on my behalf. When he saved me, he was operating as a savior. Yeah. But now as my lawyer, he's operating as an advocate. And he has the whole record, and he even knows what the devil don't know, and that's my heart. Lord, I wish I had another sinner who had been saved by the grace of God. So listen at this. Not only is he the advocate in the gospel, but I want you to see something else. That he is, I want you to see the aim, rather, in the gospel. As he is the advocate in the gospel, you've got to understand that there must be an aim. What is the gospel for if it doesn't have an aim? Well, look at the word. It says, and worthy of all acceptation. And here it is, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was his aim. He came into this world not to be served, but to serve. He came into this world even before he got here with a plan, a divine plan to bring back whosoever will into a right state with God. He came with a plan to do what none other in heaven or earth or beneath could do, and that is to pay the ransom for all mankind, for all of his sins, for all of his shortcomings. Notice I'm saying all. Somebody say all. You see, because the devil gets us when we forget that God has paid for all. That's the big and the little and the in between. We might ask for forgiveness for the middle, and we might ask for forgiveness for the little bitty, but don't you know he has paid for the big O's? Every sin that we have ever committed, Christ Jesus has offered payment as penalty for it. For the ransom, for the penalty we have been charged, he has offered his blood for it. And so the aim of his coming, the aim of his service, the aim of his mission, the aim of his assignment was to find you and to find me and to find whosoever will and to stand in our place and say, God, my Father, whoever you are has accepted me as your payment. I stood in their place and paid for their penalties and sins. And now they're worthy to be in a right relationship with you because of my blood. When we recognize that, listen, that was the whole purpose, because God loved man so much. John 3:16 says it best, that he so loved the world. Don't underestimate that word so. Because when you say, I love so, so is almost so indescribable that it attributes so much more to than just saying love. It brings love to a whole nother dimension. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, look at how he removes all limitations, because this is an invitation worthy and acceptable by all. That he gave the best that he had to give. And I think sometimes church folk get too caught up in where they are that they forget they still need this abiding love. You know, sometimes we've been in the church so long, we forget that God is still keeping us. Amen. We start acting like we have stopped sinning long ago. When 1 John reminds us that if we say we have, that's present tense. No sin, somebody's lying. And I can promise you it isn't the word and it isn't the Lord. So that means that we're lying if we act like, talk like, treat others like we still don't sin. I know I've got some saints above 50. That's where I am in that group there. But I know I got some saints who still have to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. If I've got any in the house, would you lift your hand and you're over 50? If you still ask God for forgiveness. Now, the ones who didn't raise their hand, God help them, because not only are they lying in your presence, but they're acting like the Pharisees, holier than thou. And God's got a word for them. And that's one of the reasons why the church can't get right, because the older saints don't want to let folk know where they've come from.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info at greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard,